Well, today's sermon is coming from my couch to your couch. Hope that works all right for you. I'm going to try and look at you as much as I can. Vanessa always scolds me about eye contact. But if I glance down at my notes and you get a flash of the top of my head, I'm sorry about that. I know it's not my best angle. Interruptions can be a big problem. Until about a month ago, many of us used to talk about how great it was to work from home because we could get things done without getting interrupted by our colleagues. If you're working from home now, I wonder if you're still having that positive experience or not. For those of you who have kids also working from home at the moment, I wonder if the interruption factor has risen. Often interruptions ruin things completely. You might have had that experience when you're cooking dinner and the doorbell rings and you end up having an extended conversation with someone at the front door. Eventually you close the door and as you walk back to the kitchen, your heart suddenly sinks. And sure enough, you come back to a culinary disaster. Has that been you? Or another example I was thinking of was the classic romantic scene in a movie where there's a young couple and they're really getting on well and they lean in for the first kiss, but then suddenly someone's phone goes off with a silly ringtone and the moment is spoiled. I wonder if you've had that experience yourself. Often interruptions ruin things. But in today's passage in Luke that we're looking at, we're going to see that an interruption actually makes a situation more wonderful. In this story, we meet two desperate people. And we see two amazing moments of touch. I don't know if you're a desperate person right now, or you might be worried that you'll become one in the weeks ahead. But I think in this time of physical distancing, all of us are going to see the power of touch in this story pop out in a whole new way. We meet our first desperate person in verse 41. His name is Jairus. He's a synagogue leader. He wasn't a priest from the temple. He was a wealthy layman who was in charge of organizing synagogue services. He was an important guy in society. Jairus has a daughter whom he loves. She's about 12 years old. She's seriously ill. She's dying. But there is somebody that Jairus believes can make her well. And so Jairus, the respectable community leader who is desperate, he comes to Jesus. He falls at his feet and pleads him to come and heal his daughter. Jesus agrees and they start on their way to Jairus' house. And as they travel down the crowded road, we meet the second desperate person in this story. Verse 43 introduces us to a woman who has been subject to bleeding for 12 years. For as long as Jairus' daughter has been alive, this woman has had her period non-stop. No one could heal her. The other gospel writers tell us that she had suffered under the care of many doctors and spent all the money she had. But Dr. Luke, as he writes his gospel, chooses to leave that detail out. Not only was her condition physically debilitating and financially crippling, but it was also socially devastating. The Old Testament symbolic religious system had these categories of holy, clean, and unclean. And one of the big things that could make you unclean was blood. And so this woman was ceremonially unclean, not just one time each month, but continuously. When you're unclean, nobody wants to come near you because anyone who touches you will also become unclean. Never mind self-isolation for 2 weeks. This woman would have been banished from her home and community for 12 years. She's a desperate person. And so she resorts to a desperate move. It seems that she's heard of this Jesus, who is an amazing, powerful healer. And she believes that just touching his clothes will make her well. And so when she heals, when she hears that Jesus is coming down the road, in verse 44, it says, she comes up behind him, touches his cloak, and immediately she can feel that her bleeding has stopped for the first time in 12 years. There's our first amazing moment of touch. Simply touching Jesus has made this woman well. Or has it? Jesus and his disciples have been walking down the road to Jairus' house, unaware of all this. But when the woman is healed, it says Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. We don't really know what that means, what that sensation was, but it makes him stop and look around. And he asks, "Who touched my clothes?" The disciples say, "What a silly question. This is a crowded street. People are jostling up against you all the time. What do you mean, who touched you? Everyone touched you. Come on, we've got important work to do." But Jesus keeps looking around to see who it was. And eventually the woman comes and owns up. She kneels at his feet, trembling with fear, and tells the whole story. She expects to get in serious trouble. Remember, she's unclean. She's not meant to be around anyone. But she's come up and she's touched this popular teacher with her unclean hands. She expects serious consequences. But Jesus says to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." Now all the other people who were brushing up against Jesus on this crowded road, they didn't get magically healed from their indigestion or worms or whatever was wrong with them. Physical touch with Jesus wasn't magic. Jesus points out that this woman was healed because of her faith. Reaching out and touching Jesus was an expression of her belief that Jesus could make her whole. She was healed because she'd put her trust in the right person. But notice that Jesus stretches that faith. He wants her to extend that trust. She's got her physical healing, and she's ready to just anonymously disappear back into the crowd again. But Jesus stops and makes her identify herself publicly in front of a crowd that will think she's done something terrible. And when she does do that, Jesus, the great teacher, speaks up and commends her so that the condemnation of others is silenced. There's a little picture here of what it essentially is to be a Christian. Jesus says to her, "Your faith has healed you." And the Greek word used there can mean saved as well as healed. And for us, it's our faith, our trust in Jesus, that saves us from our sins, saves us from condemnation, and means that God treats us as his daughters and sons. Now, the healing of the woman on the road is a great miracle from our point of view, and no doubt from her point of view. But what about Jairus' point of view? From Jairus' point of view, you'd have to think that this whole thing was a badly timed interruption. There's an urgency in this situation. His daughter is dying. And here's Jesus stopping on a crowded street asking a silly question, "Who touched me?" Come on, we don't have time for these interruptions. I think Jairus was probably thinking like that when in verse 49 a messenger comes from his house with news. It's the worst possible news. "Your daughter is dead. Don't bother the teacher anymore." It looks like this interruption, this pointless delay, has made it too late for Jesus to do anything. When the woman touched Jesus and he felt power go out, he could have just decided, "No time to worry about that. I've got urgent business to do." But Jesus decided to stop and waste time, and now look what's happened. But Jesus overhears what the messenger is telling Jairus. And Jesus says to Jairus, don't be afraid. Just believe and she will be healed. We saw before how Jesus stretched the faith of the woman on the road. She already believed that he could heal her, but he stretched her to make that faith public before a hostile crowd. Now Jesus is stretching Jairus' faith too. Jairus already believed that Jesus could heal his daughter from her illness. Now he's being asked to trust that Jesus can raise her from death. But it might be that it's the interruption itself which has given Jairus what he needs to have that faith. Seeing the power of somebody touching Jesus might have made him think, well, if Jesus comes and touches my daughter, who knows what could happen? This miracle is not going to be for public consumption. It's too explosive for that. Verse 51, only Peter, James and John and the girl's parents are allowed to come in. They go into Jairus' house and everyone's weeping and wailing with grief. The professional mourners have probably been brought in and begun their work. And Jesus says to them all, stop wailing. She is not dead, but asleep. And the people in the house didn't say, oh, really? That's good news. Tell us more, doctor. No, they laughed at this ridiculous idea. They knew she was dead. They knew it was finished. But Jesus goes up to the corpse. And we see our second amazing moment of touch. Jesus picks up the dead girl's hand and says, my child, get up. She starts breathing again. She stands up. They give her something to eat. This is no ghost. This is no apparition. This is no hallucination. Everyone knew that she'd been dead. But now this standing, breathing, eating girl is very much alive. And I don't think it's too much to say that Jairus' daughter is alive again because of her father's faith. When Jairus was on the road and he heard the news that his daughter was dead, he could have obeyed that advice that said, don't bother the teacher anymore. When Jesus said to him, don't be afraid, just believe, Jairus could have said, no, that's enough. He could have protected himself emotionally and said, I'm done. I will not expect anything more. But he trusted Jesus. He trusted Jesus' power. He trusted Jesus' promise. And in the end, his daughter was raised up from death. Jesus said, don't be afraid, just believe. And it sounds a bit too much like a fridge magnet for my liking. But I think it's what we're called to do as Christians. When you read a little phrase like that, pulled out of context and stuck on a fridge magnet, it sounds like it's saying, turn off your brain, be blissfully ignorant about all the hazards around you and just focus on some warm, fuzzy religious thoughts. That's what it sounds like. But that's not what it's really about. The fear that Jairus was in danger of giving into was the idea that there are things that Jesus can't make right in the end. That's the kind of fear we're talking about here. The fear that some problems are too big for Jesus. And I think we too can be susceptible to that kind of fear. We probably wouldn't say it out loud. But under pressure, I think it's quite possible for part of us to think, Jesus can forgive my sins. But financial ruin because of an economic shutdown, he can't make that better. It's possible for us to think deep down, Jesus can look after my eternity, but losing my spouse to coronavirus next month, Jesus can't make that any better. It's important to notice that when Jesus says to Jairus, just believe, the faith he's talking about involves waiting. Jesus doesn't just issue a command on the spot and raise up the girl immediately by remote control, though he could have done that. There's miracles like that elsewhere. He makes Jairus wait. And what Jairus is waiting for is not for Jesus to avert a disaster, but to undo the disaster. Jesus doesn't stop the girl from dying, but he does raise her up out of death in the end. And it's the same for us. You and I wait for a day when each of us hears the voice of Jesus saying, my child, get up. The day when Jesus returns and makes all things new and every tear is wiped away. I don't know quite how that will work. How every regret, every grief, every sadness will be forgotten. I suspect that seeing our Creator face to face will have something to do with it. That's the day that we wait for. The day when we will experience the power of Jesus' touch. But in the meantime, brothers and sisters, as people who belong to Jesus, the risen one, let's hear his call. Don't be afraid. Just believe. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we are in a world that we cannot control. There are things that get the better of us. There are dangers that come on us and are too big for us. And we hear your call to not be afraid, but just believe. Your call to hold on to the truth that there is nothing too big for you to fix. Lord, as we face situations that are too big for us, situations that will make us desperate, give us more faith. Help us to look at the things you've shown us already and know that the day is coming when you will make all things new, when you will raise the dead, when you will wipe away every tear. Strengthen our faith, we pray. Amen.